Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today is Lori Levine. Lori, please tell us where you are in the world and what you do for a living.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Lori Levine. I am co-founder and CEO of Scott's Protein Balls. We are a company. We make healthy, gluten-free, dairy-free, plant-based, no non-GMO, low sugar or no sugar protein balls. We try to satisfy lots of different palates and allergen people that people have, and we also have some nut-free flavors.
Awesome. That's amazing. So I know you started back in 2021, being in New York State, and I was kind of still very much in the thick of kind of COVID era time. So walk me through kind of where the idea came from. What was like the big problem you saw out there in the market that you were looking to solve? And you know, what was kind of your catalyst to having this idea and then transferring it to an actual like full-blown brand?
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm happy to answer that. So Scott and I are both accounting finance people. We were not in the food industry and we were not entrepreneurs. But in 2017, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm doing great now. Thanks. Good. And I really am. But after I had surgery and treatments and, you know, it was a pretty bad time, I decided, you know, you feel out of control when something like that happens to you. And then I started to realize, you know what, there are things I can control. I can control what I eat, what I think, how I take care of my body. So I went to a nutritionist and I was 52. And I got into the best shape of my life. But she said to me, no more protein bars. She said, they have soy, they have sugar, they have preservatives, they sit on the shelf for a year. She said, nobody should be eating them, you know, but we're all conditioned by marketing. We think they're healthy, right? You probably have one or two in your backpack right now, you know, as most people do. And she said, you don't want to eat stuff. You're supposed to shop the outer aisles of the supermarket, really. That's where the freshest things are, things that expire within a few months. So I would come home and complain to Scott as I was recovering and say, I need something. I need a quick snack. I need a grab and go. And he, as a labor of love, said, you know, you've been through so much. I wasn't really able to do anything. This I can do. And he went online and created a little peanut butter cacao protein ball. And that's how it all started. That's the beginning.
That's amazing. So yeah, and I see kind of from like a business standpoint, it seems like you're doing most of your stuff pretty direct to consumer right from the website. Was that kind of how you got the start with the brand? It started as that. And as you exist today, have you gotten into any different channels through like Amazon or doing any wholesaling or?
Yeah. So he made the product for me. I loved it. And that was it. People said you should start a business, but we weren't doing that. Then COVID hit and we all moved home. My kids moved in and we started to roll balls. I said, that's what we're going to do. So we made inventory during COVID, having no idea what we were doing with it. But once COVID started to like subside a little bit and people started going out, we put up a Google Doc and started an online business and it started to become a thing. And then we went into a little bagel store in our neighborhood and then another bagel store. Fast forward now, we're in about 100, maybe even more. We're scaling up a lot now. We're now over 100, let's say, retail stores, including some of the big supermarket chains on the East Coast. We're also in a few major airports on the East Coast. And we have our wholesale business and we have our online business and we also are on Amazon. You can find us on Amazon as well.
That's awesome. So what's kind of the breakdown between those three channels that you sell through as far as like percentage revenue, I suppose?
So I would say that most of our revenue is still coming from our D2C business, from the website, probably 60%. And we really just started to, we're doing a fundraise right now. We just launched it because we want to scale it. We've been bootstrapping until now. Mm-hmm. And you need to spend money sometimes to make money. And we haven't put any money in online advertising. So we just started putting a little bit in Amazon and we can already see the returns. So I would say about 60% online and probably 38% from the wholesale, from the retail stores, and then maybe 2% now on Amazon, but that's growing now. That's all going to start to grow now.
That's amazing. Yeah. I know you said you haven't really done anything as far as like traditional channels of online ads with Facebook or like Google ads or anything like that. So I assume that, you know, all that growth was pretty organic, probably just like word of mouth or, you know, people just coming across it, maybe on like your socials and things like that. Where did you find kind of the most growth? Like what kind of channels for the direct to consumer business just from the website?
So we really went grassroots from the beginning. I'm in New York and I have access to New York City and to the Hamptons. And we just did a lot of events. events early on. We partnered with brands and or partnered with charities and events, and we were an in-kind donor. So we made postcards and we got emails, and we just organically collected names, emails, and built up a nice database. And then now that we're in a bunch of stores and everything, we support the stores. We do demos. Like, my parents are involved in the business. They do store demos for us, a supermarket chain in Long Island, every Friday. Awesome. And, you know, we still give out postcards and we're still introducing the brand. So we just started about a month ago doing some ads on Facebook, on Meta, and on TikTok. And so we're waiting to see how those play out. We think that that's definitely going to drive sales where we haven't. It's untapped potential for us.
Yeah. Online advertising could be a little tricky, you know, depending, because a lot of it is just like, you know, how much money you have and are able to, like, you know, kind of spend on those channels, right? So I'm curious, one area of, like, a lot of variability I find with CEOs of more online-centered brands like yours is, you know, how they're going and executing these kinds of marketing tasks and strategies that they have. So at this point, are you, like, kind of figuring this out and learning and, you know, doing it on your own, creating the ads and everything, or are you outsourcing at all? Do you have employees that work in those things? Give me a little picture of, like, kind of how the marketing efforts and tasks are being executed there.
Okay, absolutely. So I run the company, and then I have two full-time people, Katie and Kyle, and they are doing operations. They're sort of wearing every hat with me, and we sort of just bounce around to where we need to put our attention at that time. And then what we found is a nice fractional model works for us. So we outsource marketing, we outsource our ad sales, and we outsource our we have a COO who's fractional also. And what we find is we get higher quality people if we hire them fractionally, and we get the benefit of their knowledge and what their other brands are doing. They can say, oh, wow, what are you guys doing for Mother's Day? My other brands are already working on. So it's a very collaborative effort. And so we feel like we're getting, since Scott and I were not in the food industry and we're not entrepreneurs, it was really helpful to have people who have that experience in the industry. We also outsource. We have a fractional head of sales also.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's a common answer to that question that I get, especially more like online driven brands like yours. It's so much more efficient. Even if, like, you have like little contract projects you need done, you can find people on Fiverr and WeWork, and you don't have to worry about onboarding and, like, it's kind of like the pains of, like, really bringing on the full-time like W-2 employees. It's a lot, and it's an investment that if it doesn't work out, you're kind of get, like, you pay somebody for 3 months for almost nothing by the time you get them trained and onboarded and really comfortable and understanding the business, right?
Yeah.
So really, like, be able to fractionalize, like, really, like, specific parts of the business is really powerful. And I find is usually probably the most common answer to that. So that definitely makes sense.
We learned that the hard way, though. I could see now how it would be easy to launch another business. But, you know, we learned everything the hard way. We made those mistakes. We hired the full-time people and there wasn't enough work. But also, we didn't know at the beginning that there are all these amazing online communities, and that the whole CPG world, from our experience, is so kind and willing to help and pass along, you know, a marketing name or someone who prints bags. And we learned lots of things by doing it the wrong way. And so we've made a lot of mistakes on our dime, but now we've gotten our supply chain now to, like, a great place. We don't make the balls anymore. We have a co-manufacturer making them. We are currently onboarded with one of the largest national distributors in the country, Katie. Nice. We have a broker who's going to be doing the sales for us. So our wholesale business will grow. And so we're working on some local distribution. So we really have our ducks in a row now. So it's very refreshing because we've been in the muck for a long time, as most entrepreneurs are who start out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's kind of the main scope of why I love doing this podcast is, and especially in CPG, which ends up being a lot of the people that come on. It is a very, I think, nurturing community of entrepreneurs in this space.
We found that.
And so, because so many stories are just like yours. I mean, super organic ideas coming from grassroots out of a necessity or a labor of love for their spouses or their kids. And people, it just blows up because it's an amazing idea. People get wind of it. They say, like, why don't you start a business? Well, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm like, okay, well, you are now then.
Overnight. We were lucky enough. We were chosen to go on an episode, on a segment on Good Morning America. And during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we were chosen. One of three brands were chosen. You had to have a business that was inspired by breast cancer diagnosis. And we were fortunate enough to be one of the brands. So that was our aha moment when we really realized, wow, okay, we have a business. We got 1,000 orders within 24 hours and we had to get them out, and we were still making the balls in our kitchen, shipping from our dining room, storing the balls in our living room. So we did it. And then we realized like that we really had some, which was very cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so when you think about, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I had a conversation with somebody actually just today that was making, they were like lollipop cough drops that did like nausea relief. And like one was for like, oh, wow, you know, when you were feeling sick. And it was a very actually similar story to yours, but you know, I could just tell, like, it's all like very so similar stories of like, you know, I found somebody else who was doing this in this space, and they were actually donating the nausea relief for people that were going through chemotherapy in these, I think they called them hoe packages. They were giving people that were going through rounds of chemo really to like send them home with and things like that. Yeah. So yeah. I can really tell that about this community as I'm doing more of these like interviews and podcasts and things. It really seems that way. And it's a great space, it seems like, to get into. And, you know, especially if you're a newer entrepreneur, because I think people are just more than willing to help than almost any other industry out there.
So our business launched out of a breast cancer diagnosis during COVID. Yeah. So we had a lot to overcome, mm-hmm. but it was very important to me to stay true to my mission. And my mission was to give back. So last year it was the 5-year diagnosis that I'm clean. So,
Amazing.
I formed a partnership with a charity called BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. And we donate back a percentage of all sales back to breast cancer research, because some of the tests that impacted my own personal journey were funded by research. And so I just feel so aligned that we can have a mission too, while we help people find like clean and healthy snack alternatives.
Yeah, so that's so amazing. And yeah, that's another thing I can tell in this space is, you know, it seems like the people who really take it with like these venture projects of like really and taking these brands all the way is like the conviction's always there. So it seems like it's usually for the right reasons. I mean, you wouldn't labor this thing out if it wasn't right. I think that's really right. What like brings like the players that stick around in the CPG space, they almost have to come from like very deep rooted like personal sentiments almost. Because like, if you don't have that, it's really hard to stick it out and go through all the trials and tribulations and learning the hard way and spending the money because of mistakes you make to like, and then still, even after all that, to keep going. So I think that's all kind of relative with each other, which is, you know, it's amazing. It's an amazing space. So I guess I'm curious, like, when you think about, you know, what you're doing with, you know, getting more into like your digital ads and stuff, just to get back to that for a second, you know, how are you kind of projecting, you know, now that you're, you know, getting more into like traditional channels of online marketing, how are you projecting your growth with the Amazon store versus your direct to consumer? And then, you know, with your wholesale coming in, obviously we just kind of got done with Q1 2024 here. Are you finding that your wholesale is becoming the biggest driver of growth with the business, or which one is kind of accelerating the most right now?
So it's been the D2C, but you know, like I said before, but now that we have our supply chain ready to go, we'll be able to scale up. So the co-manufacturer, we'll have economies of scale. Our ingredients will cost less. Our shipping will cost less now because we'll have a shipper. So the cost will come down, which means obviously the profits will come up, and the margins are obviously not as good on the wholesale business, but we're going to make it up in volume now, because now we can get the distribution and we can get into the bigger stores. So we turned down a meeting with a 400 store chain last year because we just couldn't, we were afraid that what if we couldn't deliver and we only get one chance. So I imagine that our business will become probably much more equal, and potentially even the retail will even take over in sales for us, because there's so many stores. And, you know, it's important that we don't want to grow too big too quickly either, because we think it's important to support the stores. We're going into a chain of store supermarkets in New York City, and it's a great chain because they want you to do demos. They want you to come in, and they liked us because they like the brand, they like the story, they like the taste. But so I think that wholesale is going to become huge for us this year. I know that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's a really important point, and something that comes up, I would say, a lot with a lot of the podcasts I do is like being able to and willing to say no sometimes, because what can happen sometimes, and what I've seen happen, conversations that I've had with other brand owners, is you get some wind of you either know somebody at a giant buyer and retailer, and you know, they reach out to you and they want to do 500 stores, and it's like all of your capacity. And then like you worry about if you can fulfill that, or if all your fulfillment capacity is going towards that one wholesale deal, then like all of your business is hinged on this one relationship that, who knows, like something like COVID happens and it's all gone, and you go from having everything to having nothing if you only have that one channel. So, you know, this omni-channel approach that you're taking, I think is going to be really healthy moving forward. And it seems like, you know, things are growing kind of like in tandem with each other, which is really, I think, healthy for the brand. So that's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're trying.
And then, so one question I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, you know, obviously you've learned a lot, you know, you didn't come from an entrepreneurial background like a lot of folks do. So you kind of have to learn so many things along the way, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you could go back to the inception of the brand when you really started selling your first 1,000, in and taking it off from there. What do you think would be your biggest piece of advice to yourself? You can go back to those to that day, you know, as you were kind of working on, you know, getting your first shipment out.
And that's a good question. I think it is just to breathe, to just step back and, you know, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like the first time we had a pallet ready to go, and just take it in for a minute. And then, you know, our packaging has gone through so many iterations. I was carrying them in Ziploc bags, and now we have really cute packaging and everything. And I think it's just, if we had entrepreneurial experience, it would have been different. But I think it's just to appreciate each step and just to know that, like, a year ago, I had 300 things on my to-do list, literally. And now I have a handful, but they're high level. You know, I have the two people who work for me, and I'm saying to them all the time, when this happens and when that happens, and now I'm saying to them, okay, remember when I said this was going to happen? Well, it's happening. And it's hard to see the forest through the trees sometimes when you begin, but if it's really something that you believe in, don't give up. Just persevere, keep going, and dust off. And sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back, but you're still moving forward.
Yep. No, that's awesome. I think that's really good advice, because so much of what you see like online these days, you know, say you're somebody who isn't an entrepreneur and you're trying to think of like a way to maybe get out of your job if you don't like your job, or you just know you want to do something on your own eventually and you're trying to figure out what that thing is. All you kind of see online, if like you're not really following people intentionally that, you know, like share like their story with a real process about their business, I mean, all you see is just overnight success. It's really difficult. And like you try to come up with ways to like, how can I make this happen? It's like, you can't, because that's not real. You know what I mean?
It's so, not real. It's
my
not
favorite real. Part about this podcast is hearing about real stories from real business owners that have success and all of the trials and tribulations and things they had to learn. It's like, that's what's in store for you if you want to do something like this. And it's not impossible, but you got to be ready for to be able to do those things and be able to, as you say, like take a breath, take a step back. You know, there's always going to be a million things to do, but don't rush into making decisions on one side because you have a million other things to do. Like everything requires intention and requires diligence. So I think that's really important for people to hear. So I appreciate that insight. And
I think there's one other thing, which is, don't beat yourself up on your mistakes, because how could you not make them if this is a new industry or a new product? And you grow and you learn from your mistakes, and that's what makes you better. So I think, you know, you have to not be so hard on yourself when something doesn't go right, because you'll work on it and you'll get it worked out.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And now, thinking about going back to your kind of whole new wholesale ventures that you feel like is going to be, you know, really big for you this year. You know, those conversations can be tough, obviously. Yeah. You know, you talk to wholesalers and they say, like, you know, one might say, like kind of in the middle, one might say, like, what is this? Get out of here. Like, this isn't anything. Like, talk to somebody else. And, you know, you get that one person after who knows how many calls that says, this is great. This fits perfect with like what we're trying to do, and we want to see demos in the store, and it's great, right? So what is your kind of approach in, you know, driving new relationships in your wholesale side of your business? Because, you know, some things, they just blow up and get so big, they go viral. So people just have like all the retailers reaching right out to them.
Right.
What's kind of been your strategy to nurture that?
We've taken it slow because we're trying to concentrate on the Southeast, because that's where it's best for us to be shipping right now. But now that we'll have national distribution, it'll be better. But we've gone to trade shows. That's a great way to get out there and meet buyers, meet retailers. We also have done a lot of outreach. We'll work tirelessly to try to find out who's the buyer, who's the one. And people care now about what they eat. Mm-hmm. They do read labels now. You know, in the past, we didn't. And, you know, we just bought it because it said it was perfect, or we're conditioned to it. But I think our customer is a little more savvy, and they want to know what's in it, and they want to understand the word, and they don't want to see 50 ingredients and they don't recognize half. And it's better to buy clean whole foods that are healthy, that have health benefits. Our customers are literally ages 2 to 92. You know, I do events at a children's museum, and I see a 2-year-old sitting in their stroller eating on one of the nut-free flavors. They think they're having like a cookie or candy, and they're really having chia seeds and flax seeds and organic oats. And, you know, I wish something like that was out for my kids. And then we have people going to the gym or taking an afternoon coffee break. Or personally, I eat some of the flavors, the brownie batter or the mint chocolate chip for dessert. So I think, you know, we found a niche where there was something missing in the market. So that's like our differentiating factor.
Yeah, it seems like it kind of fits right into that, because, you know, I could see so many times I see brands, not anybody I've spoken to recently on the pod or anything, but just like in general out there, just looking for like, you know, healthy alternatives to snacks. So everybody loves a snack. You know, you can't not everybody. Snack. You have to. But there's healthy alternatives out there, like what you're doing. And some people go, I think, have gone a little too far in the direction of like, you know, either vegan or some of these other areas where like you went right past the natural ingredients thing, went all the way to vegan and then turned around with more synthetic ingredients so you could call it vegan. I could sell that you're not doing that. And I think you found a really good medium where it's all natural and just the way that you make it just like happens to be this way where it's vegan and some of them are nut free and dairy free and these things, which I think is like, that's where you need to land as like a, you know, a brand and a product like this. But some people just go, they just want it to be vegan. So they end up like,
you're so right.
Like other artificial stuff in, and you just kind of like, you're back to square one almost, basically, you know?
It's so true. It really is. And you know what? And there's no options.
Yeah.
And it's good to have a healthy option that tastes good, that doesn't have an aftertaste, that and you could feel good about it.
Yeah. And that's where, like, if you can have the great labels that can cater to people who have allergies or have, you know, dietary preferences with all natural ingredients, you don't have to worry about the aftertaste because it's just natural things. Like, with the aftertaste comes from aspartame and stevia and all this other stuff that, like, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but they're not 100% natural. Like, it's not things from the earth you're putting into a product. It's like they're still additives. Maybe if they're naturally derived, they're still additives, right? So I think you found a really good medium with that. I think it does cater to 2 to 92, and you know, anybody who wants to live a little bit healthier
and not eat Doritos
every day for as a snack, you know what I mean? So that's amazing.
Absolutely.
So listen, I want to thank you for coming on, Lori. It's been a really awesome conversation.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to my story. And
absolutely. I think people will love your story.
I want to send you some products too. Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate
the time. Yeah, I just want to give you an opportunity too before we go to, you know, shout out your social, shout out your website, you know, any way people can get, you know, stay in touch with you personally and also the brand.
Great.
Let people know how to stay in touch.
Okay, thank you. Our website is scottsproteinballs.com. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere at Scott's Protein Balls. And let's see, you can DM, I'll respond. And that's it. You just like our stuff. Send us videos. We'll send you products. And thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, Matt. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lori. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too.